Hi, and welcome to the Salvation Army Southwest podcast. You'll find engaging messages here, so please go ahead and listen and check out some of our other messages and enjoy what you hear. You can always follow us online on our Facebook page or go to our website to find out more information. Thank you for listening.
So good to have you here. If you're joining us online, a special welcome to you. We are so glad that you're with us, and we do appreciate you being here. A couple of quick announcements. Craft and Coffee is at Lee's house starting again on Monday, tomorrow. So if you're involved in that group, go along. Men's Huddles is not this week coming. It's the week after, so every second week, second and the fourth week. On the little cards that are designed, for some reason, July is missing. Every other date for the year is there, but July is missing, so my bad. It was me because I designed them, so my bad. But if you're in the room today, it's good to have you in the room as well, yeah? Ladies' huddles are starting this Thursday at 1:30. Katrina's got some invites that she will give out to people, and if you want to be part of that, you can too. A huddle group, if you don't know what it is a very, very great little group. So the idea is that we get together, we read a piece of scripture, and we ask two questions, just two, and they're always the same every week, just two questions. First question is, what do you think Jesus is saying, or what do you think God is saying out of what we just read? And what are you going to do about it? That's it. And everybody gets a chance to say what they think Jesus is saying, and everybody gets a chance to say what they're going to do about it. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
It is great. I loved it. We did a men's huddle last week, and it was brilliant. So if you want to be part of it, get on board. And if you feel like you can, you know, host a huddle, come and talk to Zoe or Katrina, and I'm sure they'll be interested in sharing with you and showing you what's involved. It's going to be good today. We're in a series called Why the Heck Am I Here? Why the Heck Am I Here? And this is part two. And it's a series really that was born out of the Australian Census. So the Australian Census was done last year in 2021, and we had the data. The data has been released and starting to be released, and we're starting to get a picture of what Australia is like and what we're into and where we live and demographics and all that kind of stuff. But some of the stats that came out about 3 weeks ago was the stats around church and around faith and around belief in God. It also had a look at other religions as well. But what we've realised and what it shows in that in 1971, there was 81% of people who had a faith, who had connected themselves to a church, who belonged or connected some way to God. 81%. 50 years later, in 2021, that number is down to 43.9% believe in God or connected to a church or would say there is something. And now these are figures that not necessarily talk about people going to church or going actively in their faith. These are just connected to, loosely even. 81 to 43. And so what we can see is that over 50 years, more than half the people have dropped off. And what it really suggests to me is, and this is hard to hear, is that we as a church, we as Christians, we as disciples of Jesus, we as apprentices and committing our lives to God, are doing a poor job at telling people about Him. Because 81% to 43%, it suggests that they see no value in what we believe. No value in coming to church. Now, I can tell you there's a lot of value in believing in Jesus and coming to church, but they're not seeing it in our lives. And so we started this series called Why the Heck Am I Here? And we're looking at some of the sayings that Jesus had, and particularly one of the sayings that Jesus had in the Beatitude, or just after the Beatitudes, in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew's Gospel. And it starts with this in Matthew 5, verses 13, started like this. Let me tell you why you are here. So this is what it says. Let me tell you why here. Message version we're working at. And the idea was that Jesus was actually saying to his disciples, let me tell you why you're here. Let me tell you what this is about. Now, I don't know if the disciples asked Jesus, why are we here, Jesus? Or whether the disciples kind of went, hey, look, you know, and Jesus went, come on, let me give you a mission. But when I typed the words, why am I here, into Google last week, I got 6,250,000,000 results in 0.9 seconds to the question, why am I here? Now, I didn't study all of them. I said that last week. But I did look at a couple of them. And really what it's asking is, what is my purpose? What am I designed to do? Why am I here? That's kind of what it was looking at. And we looked last week at this idea of being salt, seasoning, bringing out the God flavors of this world. Who was here last week? Hands up. Oh, yeah. Remember, I had the table set up and we started cooking an egg in the middle of church. You know, I'd done bacon, so I figured bacon and eggs went well together. We started cooking some eggs. And we talked about how salt, and I had three categories for seasoning, right? Because remember, Jesus says you are the salt seasoning bringing out the God flavors of this world. And we talked about how too little salt, and I went like this, and I kind of just went, it's not effective. We're just all over the shop. And then we looked at, you know, having just the right amount of salt, seasoning in the right place. And then too much salt. Remember, we poured a whole heap of salt onto that egg. It became ruined. Well, after church that day, and this is why I've given you all that. After church, someone actually came up to me and said, there's a fourth category. And I went, oh, I wish I had, when they told me, I wish I had a thought about that beforehand. Would have been great for last week's sermon. You know, things that people teach you along the way, you know. They said, there's a fourth category. And I went, okay, well, there's too little salt, too much salt, just, what's the fourth category? She said, salt that never leaves the bag. It's a fourth category. Because a lot of us are Christians, but we don't want to leave the bag. And some of us are Christians in the church, and we don't want to leave the church. We just want to be salt in our own little church and nothing outside of that. I just highlight that because it's a really good point. So if you can add that to last week's sermon, that would be great. All right? Credit to Zoe who came up with that one and gave it to me. I thought it was really good because there is a lot of us who want to be salt in the building. But as soon as we leave the walls, we're not. And that's challenging. And I can tell you that I'm not telling you stuff that we can't see. The world is changing. The church is dying in Australia. We could see that. We feel that. And so we're going back to school and we're looking at this idea of what it really means. Why the heck am I here? Let's get into it. Jesus' second part says this. You are here to be light, bringing out the God colours of this world. So again, Jesus is actually starting to say to us, you are here to be salt and salt seasoning, bringing out the salt flavours of God flavours of this world. Now he's saying, you are here to be light, bringing out the God colours in this world. He's telling us what our mission is. He's telling us what we are supposed to do. He's telling us our purpose in life. He's telling us that as disciples of Jesus, we need to be bringing out God colors in this world. We need to be highlighting what Jesus is doing, what God is doing in our world to people. Now, to bring God colors out, you need to be in darker spaces. Because if you were in light, bright, bright light, right, then you can't see the spectrum of colors. But if you're in a darker space and started shining different colors, then you see all the spectrums of the colours. So we're here to bring out the colours, God colours, the way he's working, the way he's moving in this world. So like last week I said, here's some characteristics of salt. Let me give you some characteristics of light. Light, I don't know if you know this, but light illuminates the way. Now I just want to take a quick poll, just a quick poll. Who here has ever got up in the middle of the night? You know you probably should turn the light on, but you don't. And you try and make your way to the bathroom and somewhere in between your bed and the bathroom, you kick something with your toe. Who's ever? Yeah. We've all done that. Generally, when that happens, I say that one sentence, one word prayer, Jesus, because help me, as you're kind of staggering as you've kicked your foot, right? That's a prayer, it's a prayer. I'm just putting it out there, right? You see, we turn the light on, but we don't turn the light on to lay back in bed and watch the light. We don't turn the light on to lay down and go look straight into a light. And, that one's bright. Look into a light and just stare at it because it creates splotches like I've got in my eyes now. We don't do that. We turn the light on so that we can see everything else that's on the ground. So we don't kick our toe as we're going to the bathroom in the middle of the night. Light illuminates the way. Light illuminates the way. It shows us where we're going. In fact, God put a big ball of raging light We call it the sun in the sky so that it could be shining down so we could see where the trees are. So we could see where the rivers are and where the roads are. Because if it was pitch black, the likelihood is we would have all been hit by something or tripped over something or bitten by something. Is it not true? See, we are called to be the light. Paul writing to Ephesians, this is not in the things because I included it late. For we are once lived in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. So Paul is saying, live like light. Be like light. Paul writing to Peter in 1 Peter 2:9 says, you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people or God's special possession, in order that you may proclaim his mighty acts in him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. See, all through the New Testament, we are told that we are meant to be light, living as children of light, being light in dark spaces, actually illuminating the way for others to find God. Does that make sense? I know this is basic stuff, like I'm not telling you something that you don't know yet. But do you get it? Are you with me? Tracking with me? Just give me a nod or a wave or something. Because this is what Jesus is saying. Light illuminates the way, and we're called to illuminate the way for others. Say, light illuminates. Good. This is the second thing light does. Light will always overcome darkness, but darkness cannot overcome light. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but when you did turn that light on in the middle of the night when you wanted to go to the toilet, instead of hitting your toe, darkness just went and fled. Have you noticed that? Like, this is simple stuff. I know this is simple stuff, but we're going back to school here with some of this stuff. See, light will always overcome darkness, but darkness can never actually overcome light. But the problem with us, if we're light, we sometimes act like darkness is actually going to overcome us. Dear Lord, this is happening and this is happening. I don't know how to deal with it. Lord, what am I going to do? Lord, I can't take it anymore. I'm absolutely struggling here. Lord, what am I going to do? And we start to crawl up in a little ball ready to die because we feel life just pressing in. Now, I'm not diminishing and I'm not saying that life isn't hard at times. I'll get to that in a minute. What I'm saying is we sometimes act like light is not as strong as darkness and that darkness will actually overcome. But it's not going to ever, ever happen. Say, light will always overcome darkness. Now say it like you believe it. Light will always overcome darkness. Say it like you believe it. Come on. Oh, come on, you can do better than that. Say it like you know that Jesus has won every single battle and that every battle you face and everything you get to and every situation you get to, whether it be a valley that looks dark, God may have led you to that place, but he's going to lead you all the way through to the other side and he's going to be a light and light will always overcome darkness. Say, light will always overcome darkness. You see, light will always, in every single situation, do it. It will do it. We just need to remember that sometimes. We need to remember that sometimes. And I know life is tough sometimes. I know life gets tough. I know there are things that scare us. But Jesus told us. In fact, he promised us. John 16:33. I've told you these things so that in me you can have perfect peace. In this world, you will have trouble. Not a verse that we like to preach about a lot. Hey people, become a Christian, you'll have some trouble. Doesn't preach well, does it? But take heart, I have overcome the world. This is Jesus speaking. He has overcome the world. If you read the Message version, it says, I've deprived it of its power to harm you. Isn't that exciting stuff? Light will always overcome darkness. And you know what? In those valley experiences and in those tough times, there's another promise we can hang on to. You see, in Psalms 119, it says that the word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. We know that one, right? Right? The imagery here is a lamp down on the floor, like it's just shining a little bit. It may only give us one step at a time to see because it's a light to the feet. lamp to the feet, light to the path. It's down here. You may not see the end of the valley, but we'll see the next step and the next step, the next step as we go. Make sense? Make sense? So light illuminates the way. Light always overcomes darkness. Now, the next one's a little bit different. Can I have the next one come up? We are an image of the light. We are not the light of the world. Now, I know Jesus said we are the light of the world. No, it actually says you are the light. Not the light of the world. We are the image of the light. The image of light. In fact, if you read John 1, John 3, John 8, John 9, John 12, you'll see that it says that Jesus is the light of the world. And I just took John. It's all over the scriptures, but I just took the book of John there for a little bit of a sake. See, hear me right? We are not Jesus. I'm glad I'm not. I'd be letting a lot of people down, right? But I'm created in the image of God. I'd be called to be a reflector of the light. I've called to be an image of the light. In fact, in Greek, if you read that word light, we are the light, right? Can I have the Greek word come up? It is phos. Say phos. Phos, right? It can be translated as light in English, but it's actually where we get the word photo from. It is the root word to photo. Talking about an image, right? A picture of the light in this world. So we are called to be a picture or an image of the light in this world. By the way we function, by the way we move, by the way we breathe, by the way we work, by the way we interact with each other, we are called to be a picture of Jesus in this world. So let me ask you, what type of picture of Jesus are you? What type of picture of Jesus are you? Because I have met, and I'm not saying anybody in this church, but I have met people who say they're Bible-believing, God-fearing disciples of Jesus who are absolute terrible pictures of Jesus. I've met those people. In fact, I tell stories all the time, and there was one I was talking about with two Maldives or two Maori New Zealander blokes in a sauna the other week, right? How they were swearing and cursing and stuff, and then when they got to hear what I did for a living, they went, oh yeah, we're Christians too. And I was like, well, really? Not a great picture of it. Like, I can't tell you how many times I've met people who have said, once they've learnt what I've done, you know, their language changes because they want me to, you know, like, come on. Some of us are terrible pictures. And yet our mission, our whole reason Jesus is saying is for us to be the image of the true light in this world. Does that make sense? To be an image, to be a photo, to be walking around. And there are now more than 50% of Australians who the only Bible and the only image of God they will ever see is you. And part of that excites me, and part of that scares me. But when I say image, I want you to kind of capture really what I'm saying here. Can I get a stool from, where are the stools? I think they're just out the door. Can someone get me a stool? And I need a volunteer who doesn't mind having their photo taken. And whoever it is that's just ringing me now can text me. Right. Who wants a photo taken? I got my phone. Who wants a photo? Ah. Bella, you want your photo taken, don't you? Come on, Bella. Someone sit on this stool. You don't have to do too much. You just sit on the stool. I'm going to take a photo. Riley wanted to, did he? Oh, well, Riley, come and... No, both of you. All right. Sit on the stool. Actually, we'll do it this way around so that people can see you online. Sit there. Riley, you can stand behind her. We'll pose this up really nicely. I'm just going to get in here. All right, here we go. You ready? Let's take a photo. You ready? Smile. What do you say when you're taking a photo? Cheese. Come on, say cheese. All right. Now I have a photo of you guys. Look at that. That's pretty good, isn't it? But do you know what you can do on a modern camera these days? You can change it. Whoops, I don't want to share it. You can edit it. Now you know my PIN number, don't tell anyone. So you can adjust the brightness. So let's adjust the brightness. Oh, that's bright. Now let's do some other alterations. What else? Oh, we'll hit that magic button, see what happens. Oh, look at that. What else can we do? We can actually add filters. Or should we make it, what filter? Frosty, let's use Frosty. We'll put Frosty in there. What else can we do? We can crop that photo. So we can bring it down like that, right? In fact, we could do all sorts of stuff, right? We can even, you know, write up there if we wanted to and do that. We can actually put text in there now. So, you know, let's put some text in there and then let's do something else. What else should we do? Let's get back. How do you get back out of the text bit? Sticker. Oh, we add a sticker. We can put a... What is that? That is like a bit of an explosion thing. Oh, look at that. Now we've got you guys in there and... okay, hang on. Let's go back to... Oh, we can even make it black and white. And we can do all sorts of things, right? And this is the problem in the world we live in. All right? Stay there. Don't move. This is the problem in the world we live in, is we can actually take the photos on our phones now and we can alter the images. And Christians do this too, right? What they do is they come to church and they act all good on a Sunday. They put their best clothes on. They talk the right language. They even strut the way they're supposed to strut. You know, chest is out. The women have got, you know, full dressed up, whatever, you know. But we play the part and we start to add filter after filter after filter. And then on Monday, complete different filters. And on Wednesday, complete different filters. And depending on what group we're in, we change our filters and we change the way we do things and we change the way we look. And the images that we produce are so erratic, it's no wonder that the world thinks we're crazy. Is it not? Because we are being too many different people. With too many different filters, dressing up what we can. See, who remembers the old school Polaroid cameras? Yeah, a few of you. All right. If you don't know how these work, these are kind of cool. I had to borrow this one from someone. So this is a Polaroid. Get back. Polaroid camera, right? These things are a little bit different. This is what Jesus is really saying. Let's see if I can get this right, because I barely know how to use this one. It has two functions, on and button to press. Right, here we go. Right, and when you do the photo, okay, you guys can sit down and think, actually, no, stay there. See, what happens is, when you take a Polaroid picture, there it is. Can you see anything? Can you hear it online? Can you see anything online? Nothing there. Oops. Ooh, hang on, up that way. Nothing there, right? Nothing there. See, what you used to have to do is the old fanning job, right? You had to fan the thing. You had to kind of get a bit of air on it. You had to kind of do it. Can you just keep... Oh, look. It's starting to develop. Can you start to see it? All right, we'll keep shaking then. See, as Christians, this is what we are. When we first give our hearts to Jesus, everything that we need to be salt and light is already there. It may not be seen. We may not be able to see it, but it's there. Just like this image is. It's there, right? And we are given a clean white slate. I love the fact that these ones come out white, because that's what Jesus does. He imprints his light on our life. He imprints his system on our life. He imprints what he has on us. Make sense? But we have to fan it. We have to fan it. Can you keep fanning that for a minute, but don't move? Don't touch the thing. You've got to just fan. Right. Oh, dear. See, when we are fanning it, what it means for us Christians is we start to read the word. And we start to fellowship with believers, and we come to church and we hang out with those who maybe who have a spiritual kind of knowledge that they can teach us. And what we do when we fan it, and we're praying and we're reading scripture and we're doing all this stuff, we are fanning the image that Jesus has put in us. Because until we start fanning that image, right, we have the imprint on us, but nobody else can see it. So we need to fan it. We need to read our Bibles. We need to pray. We need to spend time with Jesus. I like spending time with Jesus in the car as I'm driving with my worship music. Val knows I always have worship music playing in my car. And I quite often just burst out to sing. I can't sing, but I burst into singing. You know, poor Val has hearing aids and turns them off, you know. No, I don't know if you do have hearing aids or not, but not yet, so there you go. She blocks it out. But we all need to spend time with Jesus. We all need to dig into scriptures. We all need to pray, spend time. We need to connect with the believers, come to church. This is how we fan the image in us. And once that image is there, we're able to show the rest of the world what it looks like. Thank you. Well, it's not too bad for an old Polaroid camera. Can you see the image now? See, it's not until we fan it that the image actually starts to come out. See, Jesus imprints on us. Thank you. Give him a clap. Well done, guys. You can sit down now. Jesus imprints his image on our lives. If you've ever wondered how these things work, what happens is the negative is inside the camera. The light shines through and it imprints on three layers of silver-ish paper. And as you fan and as it exposes, it comes right out. And it's still coming out. Now, I get that some of us have very blurry images because we haven't done the fanning work yet. And that's okay if you haven't. Get on it. Start doing it. The image is there. This is what it's about. When Jesus says you are the light, we need to make sure we're the right image going on. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Say phoos. Phoos. You are the light bringing out the God colors. You are the image showing Jesus in our world, where he is working. This next bit, these next verses, is where Jesus adds the twist. You ready? Say you're ready.
Ready.
Ready. If I make you light bearers, do you think I'm going to hide you? Hang on, I've missed a verse. Go back. Here we go. This is what it says. Go back. God is not a secret to be kept. In other words, your photo is not meant to be just for me. You're meant to show it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's very easy. Like that's
that image is still around the world.
This image has. Well, that image has now. Right? It's not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. And there is, by the way, if you do a bit of a geographical analysis and you're into that kind of thing, you could see that at this point they were actually on the mount of what's called the Mount of Beatitudes in today's world. That mount actually sits in the Sea of Galilee, and they would have been able to watch over the top of the sea to another town on the other side. So when he says there's a city on a hill that cannot be hidden, what it's actually saying is, see that city over there? We can see it because of their light. We can know where it is because of our light. Right? So there's some geographical stuff there. He said, city on a hill cannot be hidden. If I make you light bearers, do you think I'm going to hide you under a bucket? No, I'm going to put you on a stand. Now that I put you on the hilltop, on the light stand, shine. In other words, he is saying to us, there is no point in getting a light and then putting a cover over it, because it would not do anything. Bit like when we think about the bag of salt, and not actually getting out of the bag, it's not going to do anything. It's just going to stay in the bag, right? We need to actually shine. Shine in the right places. Shine in the dark places. Shine where those people who need to see the light of Christ, shine there. Shine in the places where people don't know Jesus. Shine when you go shopping. Shine when you in your families and at home. Shine when you go to your workplaces. Shine when you're hanging out with friends and over lunch or whatever. You got to shine and be the image of the light wherever you go. We need to shine brightly in the streets. Because if we keep shining brightly inside the building, no one else is going to see it. Make sense? I might get the band to come up. Otherwise, I'm going to spend a long time on this next bit, and I'm excited. Band, everybody come up, all the band, everyone, singers, the whole lot. because we're going to go straight into this song when I get to the end of it. Jesus finishes this section. He finishes this section by saying this in verse 16. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up to God, this generous Father in heaven. Be generous with your lives. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives by opening up to others. I don't think it's a coincidence that Jesus says, open up to others. Do you not? It's not a coincidence. Jesus knew exactly what he was saying. Be generous with your lives. Open up to others. You see, here's the thing, right? To be the image of Christ, to actually shine in those dark places, all we have to do is tell our story of what God has done for us, what God has done for the world, how he has been there for us. We just have to tell our story. You know, one of my favorite verses, or two of my favorite verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. You are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Then verse 18 in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, all this is from God. In other words, the old, the new, and the transformation. The story you have is your story of how God has impacted your life. And he is saying to us, you have a story to share. A story of how God is good. A story of how God has been in our lives and brought us out of darkness into the light. A story of how he supplied all our needs. A story of how he's healed us. A story of how he's lavished his great love on us. A story of how God has given us a supernatural peace when we're going through some dark times. A story of when he's given us real joy in the midst of anguish. A story of how he's turned everything around in our lives. A story of how he's brought prodigals home. A story of how he's restored families. A story of how he's performed miracles in our lives and in our church and in our community. A story of how he's restored mental health. A story of how he's broken chains of addictions. A story of how he's broken chains of bondage. We have a story. We have a testimony to tell. And God has given that to us to share. That's how we are the image in our world, is we share. We share our story of what he's given us. We have a testimony. We have a testimony from death to life, a testimony where grace rewrote our story, and we'll testify. Who wants to testify today of what God has done in their lives? A story of how Jesus Christ the righteous made us justified with him. This is our testimony, church. This is our testimony. We need to start sharing the story. Let's sing. I've seen Satan run like lightning. I've seen darkness run for cover. And the miracle that I can't get over, and you shouldn't be able to get over either, is that our names are recorded in heaven. Amen? Let's sing.